We gon' run up the check, run up the tab, run up. So welcome to our very first episode of Business Fumble. I am your host, Sheila Williams, and today we have our guest here, Derek and Bernadette. I'm going to allow them to tell us a little bit about themselves and about their business.
So I'm Bernadette. We were the owners of Boss's Slow Smoke Barbecue. We ran our business for 7 years, and we're here to talk about our experience with that business. So,
yeah, and I'm Derek Eason, you know, co-owner of Boss's Barbecue, and we're here to, you know, talk business fumbles with Sheila. Happy to be here.
Oh, I am so happy, you know, that you guys were able to make it here. Mm. You know, I really appreciate you taking out your time to talk about your story.
No problem.
So, you know, the first question that I want to, you know, ask you guys is, what inspired you to start Boss Barbecue? What was the inspiration behind that?
Well, first, money. Right, money. Of course, that's the main motivation, but I've always, you know, wanted to do for myself and work for myself. I never was comfortable working for somebody else. And so I've always did my own thing. And so we first started with a clothing store. We opened up a boutique and clothing store. But that didn't, you know, take off because that was around the time Fashion Nova came. And that kind of, you know,
took over everything.
Yeah, took that market. And so I started, you know, barbecuing, you know, outside of our boutique, and it just took off.
Yeah.
And then it took off, you know, so well that we closed the boutique and then we went barbecue full time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something you said, though, you said you never liked working for anyone else. Would you mind elaborating on that?
I mean, it just didn't make sense to me personally. This is all my personal, you know, opinion. It just didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it physically made me sick.
So physically, it really did.
Yeah.
He'd get up in the mornings and
he'd be sick. I didn't want to do it, so I didn't. I stopped, and so we started doing our own thing. I wanted to be self-employed.
Wow. You know, the reason why I said to elaborate on that is because that's not how I felt inside, but I always had this drive to do my own thing. And sometimes I was a little weary about stepping out there because you don't know if it's going to, you know, it's going to take off.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's very scary.
Very scary.
You know, but my son, he feels the same way. He cannot work for anyone
and
else.
And that's how my sons are too. And
yeah.
Some people are just that way. Like, you can't work a regular job. You want to work for yourself.
Yeah. I believe you can't go wrong working for yourself.
Oh, wow.
You can't.
And explain why you feel that you can't go wrong.
Because I think you have more, you know, control. You have more in your hands. You know, you can't fire yourself, you know. So you get to use all your potential, you know. It's actually really good to use all your potential and put it all on you instead of, you know, putting your life in somebody else's hands. That's not smart to me.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you used to be the co-owners of Boss Barbecue. So I guess now it is closed right now?
We closed it.
So would you like to share some of the significant setbacks or mistakes you feel you encountered through your process?
Yeah, I think the number one mistake was lack of knowledge, lack of business knowledge, and that's very important. And I didn't have anybody to teach me anything about business, finances, credit, or corporate structure, or any of that. So we just jumped in the deep end.
Yep, we jumped in the deep end. You know, like, and then for the past 7 years, we were just like pretty much drowning and just keeping our head above water the whole 7 years. So
we didn't know corporate structure. This is what I'm learning now.
Wow, that's amazing because, you know, so often that's what, you know, I talk about is understanding business and things that you don't know, pay a professional so that you can get that, right. You know, and so that's amazing, you know, that.
That was another one of my mistakes too is I'm the type of person, I'm really independent. I'm the type that I don't need nobody. That's my attitude. Yeah. And that's a mistake because, like you said, if you want to do any business, it's good to get a coach or a mentor or somebody who's been down that road before.
Right.
And, you know, role model, somebody you can follow. That's key because going into it blindly, you don't know what to expect, you know, with, you know, everything with like taxes and our industry, the food industry, you got to deal with the health department and other restaurants and, you know, like we talked earlier, people,
landlords and all that.
People hating on you and trying to, you know, hoard information and not share. So you have to, you know, be prepared for all of that, you know.
And so you mentioned that you had to deal with the health department and the different, you know, I know you had to deal with the city, you know, for your sales taxes and stuff like that. Can you talk about your experience dealing with them? Do you think that it was an easy process or did they make it difficult for you? And if they made it difficult for you, do you feel like there were some factors behind that difficulty?
I think they made it difficult for us personally because they just seen what we was doing because we did start out under a tent and we didn't like, we literally didn't know anything. So we didn't know we needed to have a certain permit or license or anything. So when we first started out, it was like we felt kind of picked on because, it was just hard. Like when we tried to get our permits to put our tent up every week and stuff, they made it really difficult for us. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't tell us. They didn't really tell us what we should do, and they kind of like – really didn't want
just
to help
us.
Just
told us we couldn't.
Yeah, they just told us we couldn't. And they really didn't like me because I don't back down. I just told them, you don't tell me that I can't. You can tell me how I can, and I'll do it. I follow the rules, but
right.
I'm not going to stop just because, you know, you're not telling me something.
We had to basically, like, find the loopholes on how to get these licenses and permits and stuff so that we could keep going.
Right. So it wasn't just handed over to you.
No.
Because I know that sometimes when I go to different agencies for my client, you know, they will just say, oh, well, you just need to do this. And then you go and do that and you come back and say, oh, well, you need this and or you need that.
Yeah, like they won't tell you everything. Right. They tell you bits and pieces to make it difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now when I go... And they do that, especially like if I go to, you know, for the business license or anything, and I'll go there and they'll say, hey, you need to fill this out. And I'll say, okay, so once I fill this out, do I need to have anything with me?
Right.
What do I need to bring? And I literally just said this to one of the agents there. You guys need to be more forthcoming because you make it difficult for people to run their business because we have to run down here 4-5 times simply because you tell us, fill this out and this is all you have to do. Then when we get here, oh, you need to have this and you need to have that. Why not put a checklist together that you can give to each person that comes in here so they are fully aware of what they have to do? And she told me, she was like, well, that's a good idea, but I don't know if it would happen. But, you know, I do understand where you guys are coming from when it comes to that.
It's kind of like they like they resent you for owning your own business because, I don't know, yes, they have to punch a clock and they feel you should too. And so they don't want to really help you. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of vibe I get down when I'm down in a lot of places, like the health department.
Health department's the worst.
Yeah. Secretary of State.
Why do you say that? Why do you say the health
they're
department?
They're just...
I don't know. It seems they get... It's
the
like
they
have a...
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, their vibe and their attitude towards it's like they're... I don't know. It's kind of... Yes, jealousy or hatred.
Hatred.
Kind of, you know. It's like, well, how dare you? I dare you start a business and, you know, and I get it. They have to go to work every day and punch a clock, but I don't know. I guess they feel that's something that they have to do, but I mean, you can quit and start your own business too. I mean, so, you know, why trip me up, you know, where I'm trying to go. So
you had mentioned that, you know, you get attitudes from different people. And that comes from, like, speaking your mind. And most people will say that's like the strong, you know, a strong personality or whatever. Do you feel that having that has hindered you in any kind of way?
It could possibly be that. But, I mean, I don't really think about it. I really don't care. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we all have choices. We all, you know, can do what we want. And so
I feel like if we weren't like that, then we wouldn't have gotten as far as we did.
Yeah, because they will run over you.
We did have to stick up for ourselves. We did have to fight for our business a lot of times.
Yeah, we had to tell them what they're going to do.
And yeah.
They're used to people coming in there and, like, being shy and timid and asking and begging. And, you know, I'm not like that. It's like, I feel like, you know, you work for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you work for the city, so... And, you know, the city's supposed to help businesses, small businesses. So, you know, you're working for me. So you need to do your job and tell me what I need to do. Like you say, all at once. Don't give me bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Give it all to me. You know what I'm saying? You get your whole check, don't you?
Yeah,
you
know what absolutely. I'm saying? Hey, I feel the same way that you feel, you know. And, you know, I've had you guys' food. It was it was amazing. Like, their barbecue was so good.
Thank you.
The banana pudding, I still remember that because I would get that all the time. Sometimes I would order it. And I know that I used to, you know, like the Uber Eats and stuff like that to pick up my food. So you probably didn't know it was me, but, you know, so knowing that your food was really, really good and you guys put a lot of thought behind your menus and what you were selling. What do you think mostly led to, you know, the failure of the business shutting down?
Like I said, lack of knowledge of business, because like you said, we did have a really good product, but that doesn't really matter in business because, you know, McDonald's don't, and they sell every day. You know what I mean? So it's because they have a good business structure and they know how to do business. So it really doesn't matter about your product. It's how your business is structured. And one of our mistakes that I know now is that, and what most people do is they get into business to make money, which is totally wrong. You have to go get money to do business. So this is what I'm learning now from my teacher. And that's why I just shut it all down and start all over from scratch. Yeah.
Oh, that's really good, you know, because one thing that you said is it's not about all the time having a good product, because you can have a good product and it can fail, you know, but there's so many components that has to go with that. Like for me, I've been in business since 2015. And like you see it, I started my business with the mindset of, okay, I only need this amount of money to get me through the month. Okay. And so after I make that, then I don't have to do anything else. Okay. And so there was growth potential at that point, but I was just like, I don't need it because I have enough to do what I wanted to do. And when we do that, we have lost the whole business concept.
Right.
Yep.
Because a business concept is to start that business and let that business do what it's going to do, you know? And if it's going to grow, then you just have to work with it. You know, you mentioned McDonald's, and I always mention them too, because what they did was, all they did was create a wheel. And that wheel just turns. Everybody knows that when you get a wheel, you just turn it, and you need to turn it in the direction that it needs to go. When McDonald's set that wheel up, they sold it. And now it makes millions, and it continues making millions because they have that will, you know. So what you're saying about, you know, learning that part and knowing that part, it is very important. And a lot of people, you know, fail to do that. Now, when you guys started, did you guys have a business plan?
We didn't.
No.
We literally, like we said, we just jumped in. We just dove in. And yeah. And
I just started selling meat on the street.
Yeah. And it just we meat. Didn't expect it to turn into a business.
No permits, like, no licensing.
We were just trying to make some side money.
Yeah.
But, so now, what's your attitude on a business plan for your new
ventures? For our new ventures, definitely marketing. I think that was another reason why it failed, was because we had extreme lack of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can have a good product, but if nobody knows who you are or where you are, you're gonna fail. Like, there's like, I don't care how good the product is.
Yes.
And marketing takes money. So mm-hmm.
And that's what we didn't have. We didn't have like all this savings and all this, because we just literally just
family
went into
help.
It. Yeah, we didn't
have
all
uncle.
That.
We didn't have none of that. So
yeah,
we were literally just, you know, made, you know, our money from the ground up. Like, that's how we, that's how our business came.
Yeah.
So
no business plan, no business structure, no credit, no none of that.
Well, yeah. Do you think that a business plan is important?
Oh yeah.
For a business.
Definitely.
Yep.
Because, you know, I didn't have a business plan either. And the reason why I didn't have a business plan is because I felt like a business plan is only needed when you're looking for financing or an investor. And I was going to do it myself. But the minute that I moved from my home office into a store location, that's when it hit me. Because that business plan helps you to move forward.
Right.
That business plan also addresses the marketing issue, because yeah. I didn't have marketing either.
Yep.
You know, and my business grew just by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I pay for marketing, the growth is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where I have to bring in other people. And that's when I realized, you know, here I am. A finance major, been doing accounting for 35 years, got all of this education, and there was mistakes that I made, and people were surprised that I made those mistakes, because they say, oh, well, she knew. Yes, I knew business, but it takes more. Like you said, it takes your product, it takes knowing the business, but also you have to know, you know, the marketing. You got to have the right type of staff, you know. And for you guys, this is a really important question. You are in Las Vegas, okay? You have a food truck and a food restaurant area. There's so many out there that's doing the same thing. What was your experience dealing with other people? And did you find it where you guys could sort of like work together to create an atmosphere where, hey, you know, Let's help each other to come up. How do you feel, you know, that atmosphere was for you guys?
Well, the other food trucks, I really didn't get involved with other food trucks, because they kind of like, it's kind of like they clicked up.
Yeah.
It's very clickish. And, you know, because a few of them will click up and they'll go set up somewhere and won't tell nobody else
yeah.
and won't invite nobody else. And a lot of them try to stay away from me, because I not only had a food truck, I had an actual smoker that smoked, and it just drew a lot of attention. And they feel if they set up with me, I would take attention away from them.
Right.
Which, you know, I really didn't even think about it like that, because I'm not, it's like you said, we all can get money. There's plenty of money out here for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, you know, kind of clicked up and did their own thing. So, you know, I'm a loner, so I did my own thing too. So,
yeah, you know. It was hard to, we would reach out to people. There was like another food truck that I was down on the strip down. What is that? Park MGM, the mm-hmm. Park MGM. And I was like, how do we get over there? Like, well, who do we got to talk to? And they'll be like, oh, we'll email you
yeah,
all the information. Okay. And I'd never get an email. And I'm like, why? Like, you guys sell desserts. Like, why are you hate? Like,
they didn't want us around. We looked for other trucks to come and do it with us, but nobody didn't want to do it. I guess they felt intimidated or whatever, but no, it is what it is.
We just stick to ourselves. Yeah, but like even like foodies, like the foodie scene is like very cliquish. So like if we would try to get foodies to come to our restaurant and stuff, but it's like they would go to like where they were like the restaurants they were like friends with and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it was like very, the food industry is very cliquish, and it's like stuff people don't realize. Like,
and they want you to pay.
And they want you to pay. Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like some foodies, it's like, oh, yeah.
Well, how much did you, so is fees associated with that?
Oh, yeah, like to post, like when foodies come to your restaurant to post a
they're
video,
paid,
they're paid. Like,
really?
Very seldom. We had a couple. Like, there's some awesome foodies out there that would come and just support, just come and eat, and I would give them their food for free because I'm like, you know, I know them and I know their intentions, but most of them are like, yeah, like 900. One was like one of the biggest foodies. So it's $2,500 for a 30-second video and stuff. It's crazy.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. And the whole time,
a month.
I was thinking that when they come, because I watched the one that everybody be watching all the time, and he goes to the different
Keith
restaurants.
Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
Keith
drive.
Lee, now
he's the only one.
He's like the humble, one. Like, that's why he's
blessed.
Oh, okay.
So that's why,
he's blessed, yeah, because he doesn't charge and do all that.
Well, that's great.
But
I,
the local
that.
Vegas ones, oh, they're.
If you're not paying, they're not there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So they want to get paid and free food.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I always look at it and think, oh, well, they just go there for free, you know, and they gained popularity because they have it on their, you know, social medias and stuff like that. And so that's how they get the popularity, and they just jump, you know, and go to all of these different places. I didn't know that they actually get paid.
Yeah,
but you know, in Las Vegas, that's how it is. It's about who you know. It's not about what you know.
Right.
And that's the problem. And that's why so many companies are so messed up, because they're actually hiring people that's not qualified to do the certain job. It's basically, I'm hiring them because I know them and I like them and they're my family or they're my friends. And those are the people that sort of like hurts your business.
Oh yeah,
you know,
it's true. Yeah, yeah. And we had a hard time getting help. That's why, another reason why I think we failed, because we were trying to run our business by ourselves. We were doing social media. We were doing all the shopping. We were doing everything, literally, like early morning till late night. Like, and it wore us out.
Yep.
Was it running very our business. Hard to hire people?
Yeah, because you know, money is an issue, of course, but in now, especially after COVID, it was hard to find people who actually wanted to work.
Yeah.
You know, they just wanted to come and, you know, stand around and get free money. But, you know, and plus in the way I ran my business, like smoking meat is, you gotta do things a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to train people who, like chefs that know it already.
Yes.
Because I'm really not a chef like that. But, you know, chefs, they're like stuck in their ways. And I have to do, you know, with my meat, I do it a certain way. And, you know, if not teachable, then I really can't use you. So that made it difficult too. And then, like I said, it all comes back to, you know, lack of knowledge and lack of finance. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes money. I didn't know how to go get money.
But I know, I will say that, you know, when I first started working with you guys, you had more uptime than downtime. So I wanted to ask, do you feel that COVID played a huge part on the comeback after that?
It really did. Because before COVID, we was in our Green Valley location, and that location failed because of
the
slumlord issue. We had a slumlord. He was a good dude, and we moved into that place, and he saw
how much money we were making.
We were
doing awesome.
Yeah, he saw our business growing, And so he was like the owner of the plaza or whatever. And he was like, hey, we were in unit C. And he was like, what were we in? B? Yeah. We were in D. And he wanted us to get unit. He's like, I'll give you unit C. And he basically wanted to partner in with me. Yeah, going to business with me.
We were so busy that we.
He wanted to.
Wait a minute. He was the landlord?
Yeah, he's the landlord. Yeah.
You know, and he wanted to go into business with you guys.
Because he saw us growing so fast, and he was like, all right, I'll give you the next unit next door. I'll tear the wall down. I'll build you a bar.
Because we needed more seating. We was, like, we were, on the weekends, there was people waiting outside. Like, that's how busy we were.
And yeah, he it was growing. This. He saw that, and he wanted to come in, and he was like, let's go in, and, you know, I'll build you a bar, and we'll do partnering. Yeah. It became like, we. Yeah, and I'm like, what is all this? I ain't French, you know? What's all this we stuff? I was like, this is my business. I wasn't going in that direction. And then after I told him no, he started, you know, sabotaging the business. Yes. You know.
He turned off the air conditioner.
Yeah, what?
He broke the AC for unit. Like a month and a half. We were like in, it was like 90 degrees in the restaurant.
Yeah, summertime. It was like 90 when we got there in the morning before we even cut anything on.
We had celebrities coming in. We had a celebrity bring their mom for Mother's Day, and they were like, "We're sorry." He's like, "I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to take my mom somewhere else. It's hot.
Yeah, it's too
hot. I really wanted her to eat your food because he loved our food." And we lost a lot of business because people couldn't sit inside and eat.
Yeah.
So, what else? They were like harassing the customers. Yeah. They were complaining about the smoker outside in the. Outside after,
but that smoker was there
for 2.5 years, right?
Yeah, wow. It's traffic. It brought in traffic, but yeah, I had to get an attorney, and we got out the lease. And
yeah, we had to get an attorney.
And around that time, we got our first food truck, and at the same time when that was going on, the food truck burnt up.
Yeah,
it caught on fire.
Yeah, I remember that. And then you had it all redone.
Yeah, yes. We got it redone, but we was down. Because we had to move out of there. The lawyer got us out of that one. And we didn't have a food truck, so we was down for like 3 or 4 months. And
yeah, so we was making all this money and then literally made nothing.
You just stopped.
And how does that make you feel? Oh, because man. It's almost like you guys had the model there. You guys had the customer base. And you guys was making the money. And just because you decided not to do one thing, all of these ripple effects happened. How does that make you feel?
Who's mad? Who is angry, sad? Like,
it was a hard time.
It was a bad time.
It was a very bad time for us. But when I look back on it, it's, you know, God don't make mistakes. He's perfect. And so it all happened for a reason and, you know, a good learning experience. And it showed and taught us a lot. Because like I said, when we got into business, we didn't know anything. So we needed that experience, and it, you know, it got me to where I am now. So
for all of the listeners that's going to be out there and that is running a food truck or a restaurant, give them some, you know, some advice that they should take, you know, early on and not, you know, wait until things get out of control.
Get money to do business. Don't start a business to
with
get
no money.
Money,
right.
You don't do business to get money. You get money to do business. Mm-hmm. Get your credit fixed and leverage that. And get your business corporate structure structured properly so you can go to the bank and get money. You want to always want to walk into a bank and get money. No matter what. And that's what we didn't know.
We went into it with just what we had in our savings, just, that's it.
Yeah,
and
just heart and talent.
Heart and talent.
And that's, it takes more than that in this day and age.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hard work because, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, they think that this is easy for me because I know, you know, accounting and tax and everything. And it's not easy.
Right.
It is so hard to run a business. Yeah. It really is. And it's hard for you to, you know, relinquish some of your job titles because, as you said, it's hard to find good workers. Right. You know, so do you guys feel that customer feedback ever harmed your business or helped your business in any way?
No,
I know now it's not about the, it's not really about the customer or your product. It's about money. Mm-hmm. And it's about being able to get money. Every successful business have a source of income, has backing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it comes from, you know, banks. If you structure properly, you can go to the bank and get what you need.
Yeah.
To do your business.
But don't you feel that customer feedback can still hurt that? Because you can have the money, you know, and I've seen this so often where, you know, especially now, because people are quick to pick up that phone and give a bad review.
I think it'll hurt if you don't have a good product. Yeah, your product speaks for itself. I never really.
Yeah, we rarely got bad reviews. I mean,
well, that's because your food was good and your service
was good.
Because even if they came in and complained, I've known and you guys are saying, okay, I'll get you something else or whatever. And you were always really good. So your customer service was already there. But, you know, I've seen, you know, a restaurant, you know, that was doing well. And I tried them because they had so many reviews on the, you know, on social media, because you're seeing the food and you're like, I want to try that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when I went there, you know, the whole atmosphere and the service was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I was standing in line, there was several of us in line and we watched the cashier treat one of the customers like crazy.
Yeah.
And so then when I got up there, you know, like the customer asked for the owner or whatever, and I felt, okay, if the owner come up here, this owner is really gonna straighten this out. And the owner was just as worse as that person. So I remember not ordering and telling them, you know, that it was gave me a bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
And several people that was standing in line with me, they walked out. Yeah. So this can hurt your business.
Yeah, stuff you know, like that, definitely.
Yes.
When we did, it was rare, but when we did get a battery, it would like eat me up like all day because, well, it was emotionally, my business was like our baby. So I would like really get emotional.
You don't want nobody talking
about your babies. Yeah, I would get sad and everything and be like, oh my God. And it would be like that one bad review out of like 100 good ones, but it would like that one would like, but yeah, a bad review, I would tell them whenever we get a bad review, I'd be like, we need to do something about this because that one bad review can ruin,
it can,
especially
it can
like if they post something like on Instagram or something and it goes viral.
You can tell people are hating and stuff. That's why it never really get to me because, you know, it's like, you know, people who have my food, they know better.
Yeah.
You know? And so.
Yeah, you're happy because, you know, like.
That's why I don't pay.
The food was good. I can't take that from you guys. The food was excellent and the service excellent.
That's why I didn't get into paying foodies. Because I wanted it to be authentic. I don't want a foodie to come in and glorify us and then you come in with a different experience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wanted you to come in on your own and, you know, you be the foodie because you got foodies that go into places all the time and just hyping them up. And then when you finally go, like you said, you have a different experience. And it's like, well, you just got suckered into coming here because this restaurant paid him to come and shoot this video and make this food look good.
I did not know that. That's so amazing that they... You getting paid? Like
food industry is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're getting, getting at least $800 a month out of each restaurant.
Wow, that's
they'll even charge you like they'll want to take over like your Instagram do posts for you and stuff like that for the month and they'll charge you.
But that's not good because if your product is not good and you have somebody coming here lying just because you paid them, that looks bad on you in the end.
Yeah.
But that's why I really didn't like to get into that.
That's why I liked that the guy, Keith, his name?
Keith Lee. Yeah.
Keith Lee, because he's honest. He'll be like, this is garbage.
He's
like,
straight up
and you
humble,
just, you know, and you just charge me $20 or I just paid $60. Oh, the service was horrible. Listen, I sent my mom in there. They treated her like crap or whatever. Yep. And I'm watching his videos and I was like, this guy is cool.
It's real, you know, because he's authentic.
Yeah. Right.
He's authentic. He's not, he don't even want you to know he's there. Because he don't want you, you know, making it something and what it's not. Because, you know, he wants you to give you the good experience, you know.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. You guys just blew my mind with that one, because I swear I never knew that.
Yeah.
You know, and with my podcast, it is to shine light on those things that, you know, entrepreneurs do not know. And you've made it clear with the finances, and I agree with that. But is there anything else that you would like to, you know, say to help them with their business?
Don't be scared to let other people run your business, because I think I had an issue with that. Like, people doing my recipes, and like people like smoking the meat, and like people taking over our social media, and like that, I was like, just because you get emotionally involved with your business, and I was like weary about letting people, like, and that's why we did so much hands-on at our restaurant. Like, we did everything. It was because we was like, well, if we put it in this person's hands, are they gonna do it the justice that we do? You know, like, that was an issue too.
And you talk about that, you know, like being hands-on. So tell me a little bit about your work schedule as you're the owner. How many hours did you guys literally pour in to your business each day?
Countless.
Anywhere from 16 to 20 hours a day, like early morning. We get up and we our kids are homeschooled, so they're with us too. So we get up as a family, we go to the store, we'd buy supplies, and he'd be up late smoking the meat. So
I tell you, when we had the food truck, this was the time they were building the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So we would go set up over there in the stadium. So my schedule was, I would go to Reef Dispensary around 9 o'clock at night, and I'll stay there till about 6 in the morning. 6 in the morning, I'll drive over to the stadium and feed the workers breakfast from 6 to like 1 in the afternoon. We leave around 1, we get the kids out of from school, and
we go
turn the
up.
Truck in, you know, reset, go home, sleep for a couple hours, and get up and do it all over again. So we didn't have we didn't punch the clock. We was always on the clock. When you're the owner, you don't clock out.
Yeah, we rarely slept.
Yeah.
And you know, that's interesting that you said that, because me running my business and my husband, he had his own business too. But one of the biggest complaints was, you know, you're never off. You know, you're never off, and you're always, you always have something to do for, you know, the business. But seeing that you guys work together, how do you guys balance that? You know, because you're husband and wife, and it's like you guys are always with each other now. You're always having to, you know, do everything together. Did that affect, you know, your relationship? No. Did it make it stronger?
It made it stronger, because we like to be together.
Yeah.
So we love to be together. Like, we're each other's best friends.
That's not the problem. We're just working all the time together. That's, it's like
that,
no breaks.
Yeah, that was like, and for our kids too, because we would work 7 days a week, and then we finally said, you know, okay, we need a day off. So we take Mondays off, but then Mondays we spent, and the kids would get upset with us because we would be like, oh, we got Mondays off, so let's go get the supplies today so we don't have to do it tomorrow. So then we were still working.
Yeah.
So it was like we didn't even have a day off. And the kids would get upset because, like, we're supposed to do something fun today. And then we'd be so tired.
Yeah.
We would just go home and just try to get some sleep. So,
yeah. And because of your hard work, I see that your kids are now entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They're starting little things.
Yeah.
So you guys think that your business played a part in that?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's all they know. So I don't think they'll work for nobody either.
They grew up in the business. So,
you think
it's a good experience for them.
And do you think that it's important for children? You know, because the reason why I ask this is because, you know, you see so many businesses and you see so many, you know, professional or successful people, and then they die off and all of their inheritance go to their children. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, it turns into nothing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like you're handing over all of this wealth and all of this built success. You're handing it over to someone, like you said, that don't know the business. They don't know what to do with it. It's just, hey, I want to go buy me this. I want to go do this. They don't know how to treat the staff that's there, that's been working there for years. They don't understand that, you know, these people are a part of it. It's an asset of that company. They don't look at it that way because they wasn't there building it.
Right.
So I do feel like it's very important to have your children along with you, because if something happens to you, they're going to suffer because that's their mom and their dad. But as far as that business, it'll keep going because they know how to do it.
It's very important.
You know?
Very important. Yep. I think that's why you get into business in the first place, to leave something for your kids. So if you're not in there teaching them and training them about the business, then, you know, you're doing them a disservice.
Yeah, I grew up in so my grandparents owned a Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. It got passed on to my aunt and uncle, and they just sold it last year for $2 million. And I grew up in the restaurant, yet my grandpa never taught me or any of the other grandkids anything about the business, like nothing. And now that I'm older, I'm like, why? Like, I'm almost mad because, like, why didn't you teach us anything about the business? Yeah. Even my aunt and uncle that sold the business, they saw me open a restaurant, and even they didn't, you know, like, give me pointers and tips or even guide me, like, not even like help me with loans or anything like that, but just guide me. And it really upset me because we both grew up without our family knowing or having knowledge about business or finances. So everything we've learned, we've had to learn on our own. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely important, and that's one thing we don't want our kids to have to struggle with, is financing. So we're like making sure that they have that knowledge.
And we talk finances in the house. When I grew up, we didn't talk finances. You know, as always, stay out of grown folks' business.
Right. Yeah.
You
know, and saying? That's one thing we're like, no, you guys are going to know.
Money was money was, I know, like, my mom was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, she was like that. I think that's
the
wrong.
Biggest mistake.
Well, it's funny that you guys should bring that up, because in my book, I have a chapter called Lessons We Never Learned. And that was some of the things that I talked about, because in our educational system, they don't teach you about credit. They don't really teach you about finance. I think when I went through high school, they taught me how to write out a check. They taught me how to look at my bank account and stuff like that.
And taught you how to, how to do a resume.
Right, and you do your resume, but it never gave us real life experience.
Right.
Like, you know, if you work here and you make minimum wage, this is how it's going to be. We never had any of that. And, you know, in my book, I talk about that too. You know, with my mom has always, her whole life, had excellent credit. But I can't remember one time that she talked to us about it.
Yes.
She never said anything.
Yeah.
You know, and the finance part, none of it.
Yep.
So you grew up and you
went
through life and you just had to learn as you go.
Yep.
So when will that change? Because I think that it should be taught in our educational system, because those children are away from us.
Yep.
You know, when they're in school, they're away from us a large part of that day. You know, because you can't count the time that you're going to bed and going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look at the times that we're up and we're moving and we're mobile and we're getting around.
Right.
But we don't have an educational system that teaches us those things. And those things are very important. By the time you realize how important credit is, It's all messed up. And you're and you're trying to fix it now because now you're like, oh, wait, you know. And then even with that, the way that that system counts, you know that that's not, you know, a good way because when COVID happened, they had to change all of that.
Yeah.
So if the system was actually working, why you got to change it now that this, you know, pandemic done happened, you know? So you see that, but we're never, ever taught those things. And you are so right. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because we need to change it in our homes, but we also need to change it in the educational system. And I don't think it'll ever happen.
And that's
why it starts at home.
And that's why we homeschool our kids, because we want them, anything that goes in their head, we want it to come from us, and we want it to be things that, like, that they need to know, like the stuff that we didn't learn till we was our till adults, you know.
Finances. We talk to our kids about all of that.
Yeah, we talk about everything. And they're 9 and 9 and 11. So yeah. Tell them everything they need to know and that's why we homeschool that reason.
You guys, I appreciate you so much for coming on. I really do. Yep. You know, it's important for people to hear your story. I think that the story is amazing. I think that your food is amazing. And anyone that here has tasted, and if they see this video, they're going to vouch and be like, where is it? You know? And before we like sign off, is there, you know, anything that you want them to know that you guys are working on to prepare them for your new ventures that you're doing now?
Oh yeah, she wants to do the barbecue. Barbecue.
I would love to open it back up just because I miss it, but I think it's just emotional thing for me. I just miss it.
Barbecue is hard.
But it was a very good product. Yeah. And I'm going to say that again. It was a very good product, and you have already stated that. You guys already know that because you were doing so well. And you know, did well with it. There was just other components, you know, not to try to, you know, persuade you to open it or,
right.
You know,
no, we may
just open it closer to me, you know, because you guys are always so far away.
Right. we may do fish and fries and not barbecue just because, you know, we sold a lot of barbecue, but we sold a lot of fish and fries, right?
Yeah, we did awesome, you know, with the fish. Since COVID, the price of stuff has changed a lot, and you know, barbecue restaurant industry is hard, and especially if you're doing barbecue.
Yeah,
it's really really difficult, and especially the way I do it, and it's just a lot of work, and it's not really worth it to me to do it, and that's another. A piece of advice I would give somebody going into business, you want to get into something that is less low overhead.
Yes.
Barbecue is very high overhead. So you want to get into something that is less overhead, that's going to, you know, take less effort, that brings you the biggest return in the quickest amount of time.
Wow.
So that's what you really want to look for, and not nothing that you know, passionate about so much, because, you know, you may love something that doesn't sell or doesn't really make sense. And when you doing business, you got to separate business from emotion and pleasure and your personal feelings or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So.
And you got to set yourself apart from the rest, because I see like a lot of like Mexican food, like coming from the Mexican restaurant background. It's very low cost, but at the same time they're popping up everywhere. Everybody has tacos. Everybody has, but you have to set yourself different. Like you want people to go to your truck. You want people to go to your restaurant, not the 10 other ones they just passed. You know what I mean? So you have to set yourself apart.
There's different reasons why people will come to you over other people, and that's just, you know, business and life. So, again, I would say getting into business, get your credit, your business structure, your corporate structure, you know, laid out properly mm-hmm. first, especially your credit. And you want to leverage that and you want to use that because you want to open up a business to where, ever seen a business that been open for a long time and you never see nobody there? Mm-hmm. You're like, how are they even open?
Yeah. Well,
that's what you want to figure out.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I'm learning now. And things will be a lot different this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely going business first. You know, first it was more about passion and our love for, because mm-hmm. I like to smoke, you know, barbecue and stuff. So, but I went in it more of, you know, the personal love instead of mm-hmm. the business
side of it.
Yeah. You have to make your business first. You have to handle right. your business, mind your business.
I definitely feel that that passion needs to be there. Yeah. At any business that you open up, because if the passion is not there, you're just doing it for the money. And when the money stopped, then you're going to not want to do it anymore. And you have to agree with me that persistency is the key to success.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You have to keep going. And there's going to be, you know, when you're in business, everyone must accept the fact that you will get 100 no's before you get one yes.
Right. Yep.
So you have to be persistent and you have to, you know, you have to be persistent and just go at it. But then also, you know, I'm going to get back on what he's saying because it is very important, the finance aspect of mm-hmm. it. And then you have a lot of people out here that's getting these, they're running out here and they're getting, because they're seeing these videos that's all over the internet saying, get you an LLC, buy you this and that. And it's miscommunication because you have so many people in the world today that loves to just hear something to tickle them. That's what I call it, tickling, mm-hmm. because you run out and you don't even have all of the facts. You just run out and you do it.
Right.
And that's one thing that I have learned. I've built relationships with the different banks. So I know what the banks are looking for. And sometimes, you know, the credit, when it's for the business, they're not really going to look at your credit sometimes. They look at your business finances and they say, okay, this person can afford it. And some people, they'll have their bank accounts and they run everything through their bank account. But then they end the month with a negative $50 or $50 or $25. How are you showing the bank that you can afford that? In your each month, because like for me, I have a lot of my clients pay me at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. So that first of the month, it looks like I got all of this money.
Right.
And then after the first of the month, I pay all of my bills and it go right back down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that cycle is still there and they can look in my bank statements and say, oh yeah, she paid her rent. She got, all her expenses is in here. Right. And they really think that I have money and I don't. Mm-hmm. And now it's to the point where I got people calling me now, you know, you qualify for 150, 500,000 or whatever. And I'm going to say from my personal experience, this is just mine. And I'm not saying that anybody should follow it. For me, I don't want no more loans. I had that. And I don't like the position that it put me in. I didn't like the feeling that, you know, of me having that monthly bill and not being able to do the things that I wanted to do because I had that loan. I had to pay that loan back. And now it's eating up some of that profit because when you get those loans, you're going to use the money. Money ain't just sitting there. You're going to use it. You know, so for me, I had a bad experience. And then I have seen clients where they did exactly what you said and they had the resources to get the money. So they just started getting money because they could get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just was, oh, I want this loan and I want that loan. And then they overextended themselves. And that right there, you know, I watched them struggle each month because they had these huge bills to pay for the loans. And from me seeing that personally, this is just for me. Mm-hmm. I don't like loans. Not saying that I'll never do it. I'm very, very weary because of that experience.
I believe that's how we were taught, because I had that same mindset. I never used my credit. Mm-hmm. Never got loans and none of that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm being taught now is, you know, the opposite. My mentor told, he says, wealthy people get into debt. Mm-hmm. Poor people try to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. And that's been my life story. Yes. Been always trying to get out of debt. Always try to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder why. And he said, you have to know how to service the loan. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to really get too many loans if you don't know how to service them, and you know, do it. You have to have it structured properly. Mm-hmm. So if you're not structured properly, it can be dangerous and a disaster.
It didn't put me out of business. And yeah, like you said, I knew what to do with it. I still didn't like the feeling. Yeah. You know, and as far as debt for me, I feel like that's a bad way to look at things anyway, because our society is built. That's how our society is built.
Yeah,
you borrow and you pay.
And look in America.
And so, yeah. And yeah, it's a mess.
Who's in more debt than America? Yeah. So,
yeah,
it's good debt and bad debt.
It's good debt and it's bad. And so, you're absolutely right.
I didn't know that in the beginning. And just like I didn't know about self-employed and entrepreneurship was two mm-hmm. different things.
Yes.
I didn't know that either, mm-hmm, right, in the beginning. And so you like, you live and you learn. If you knew better, you do better. So yes, this is where we're headed, in the right direction.
Yes.
And, you know, if we decide to do restaurants again, it would be different.
Yeah. Just get one closer.
You
can come to this side of town, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not gonna hurt you guys to, yeah, you know,
if I decide to do it again, it'll definitely be closer, you know, it'll be multiple.
You'll see our faces more,
yeah,
you know, and be like, man, you won't see mine this time.
Right. This time you won't see me in the restaurant this time.
Oh, you're mm-hmm. just gonna hire someone. Yeah. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
That's,
we don't really wanna run.
If I decide to do restaurant,
we don't wanna run it no more.
Oh, that's,
we just wanna own it, not run it.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we sign off, you know, you want to tell the guests how they could, you know, reach out to you guys, your social medias or whatever, where they can follow you and follow your ventures.
I mean, this Boss is Barbecue on Instagram, but I've shut everything down.
Yeah.
Right now. I'm learning finances. I got a mentor. So get you a coach, mm-hmm, and whatever it is you want to do. Get you somebody that's been down that road. And so I want to learn business and finances, and I'm learning credit. And yeah, that's where I'm going.
Like some real estate.
Yeah. Some real estate. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm looking into, is doing the real estate. You know, I'm all over the place right now. I just want to, you know, reach my full potential.
Yeah.
I'm not holding back anymore. I held back for years and years, and mm-hmm, you know. Yeah.
And we're making sure we have multiple sources of income, not just mm-hmm the one source of income, the restaurant, and that's it. We learned our lesson on that,
right?
Multiple sources.
That's another reason why we're not going to be more hands-on, because mm-hmm we was running the restaurant, doing everything. It didn't give us time to go out and do other streams of income.
Yeah,
because we was all tapped into that one, which is a mistake too. So
yeah, my life story.
Yeah,
that's my life story. So I really, you know, I get that, and I just want to, you know, tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
I feel that you both are very inspirational people.
Thank you.
I feel that your story is a beautiful story, even though it might have not ended the way that you guys wanted it to do. But I know your service, I know your food, everything was top notch, you know, and hopefully you'll get back out there.
Oh, definitely. It's not the end. And that's what, that's another thing I want people, it's never the end. It may be the end of this chapter, but it's not the end of the story.
Right.
Oh, that's, hey, yeah, you can put that on a t-shirt. It's not the end.
No, it's the end of the chapter, but it's not the end of the book. So we got a lot.
Right.
We got more chapters to go.
Okay. Well, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and join us next week for episode number 2.
Thanks for having us again. I appreciate it.